Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Here we go again. It's another Glory Days podcast with PJ and Jim. PJ's just back, of course, from his regular visit to the smallest room in the house, as they used to say.
Smallest room in the house? I've never heard it put that way. That's a nice way of putting it.
Which the weird thing is now, you're just back from it, and I need to go, actually. So I don't know how long. I'm not really sure how long this podcast is going
to
be.
I won't be long. I don't have much to say this week, which is a change,
what?
You know. Yeah, I say that now, but then, you know, that's sort of the story of the world, isn't it?
What?
You know, well, I don't have much to say, but now when I'm started, you can all shut your hole and listen to me while I go on about things, you know.
Yeah.
That's how all long speeches start, isn't it? That's every long speech you've ever heard in your life has always started with some flute in a suit standing up and going, I won't keep you long.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, Jesus, here we go.
And they go then.
If
the
you
next
have
thing
to
is,
say it.
I just prepared a few notes. Oh.
Yeah. So I just want to thank everybody in the room by name individually with a round of applause after every single name and then go into the reasons why they all need to be thanked.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go. And then I'll say a few words that nobody wants to.
Actually, the best one I've ever seen, right? I was watching a thing last night. Have you started watching? There's a thing called Death and Other Details.
No, I haven't even heard of this
new
one.
New series. Yeah. Anyway, but in it, right? It's just a little throwaway thing. The lad gets introduced to make a speech, and he goes, "As you know, I'm a man of few words."
Oh, jeez.
No, wait. Says, "I'm a man of few words," and then gets off the stage.
Fair play.
Walks away.
What a champ!
Like it was a gag. That's how somebody hasn't used that before? That's brilliant.
A champion move, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm a man of few words. And then just walks off.
That's brilliant.
Anyway, but the traditional thing is people always, and the same people, right, who'll give out about it. Right, the same people who'll go, like, oh, he's going on a bit.
He's going on, yeah.
They'll get their opportunity.
And they'll go on a bit. I thought it was, when I was growing up, I always thought that was a generational thing. I'll be honest. I thought there's a whole generation of fucking wankers that love the sound of their own voice and they think there has to be a ritual and a rigmarole and everything to the whole thing and that everyone has to do, and it just felt like something you had to do.
Yeah.
And I thought when my generation gets to that point, we'll all just mind our own fucking business, eat, drink and be merry and leave.
Yeah.
But no, it actually hasn't happened. A whole new generation of shit the beds have come across it now and they've started doing it. I really thought we'd go past it.
Yeah.
But you still have, no, you have to thank the L ones and you have to, fuck the L ones, no one even cares if they turned up. That's what I always want. They're always the most biggest complaint. And then the young people, they don't even want to be there. In fact, nobody wants to be where you are at most situations if you have to say thank you in the first place.
I was doing a gig relatively recently, right?
Yeah.
An awards type thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And,
a person got up to do, you know, I was told, look, they want to just say a few words or whatever, right? And they were going to present a couple of awards. I swear to God. It must have been, and I'm being relatively conservative here, it must have been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
That's outrageous now. That's outrageous.
And so I was technically kind of, you know, in the, you know, doing the, you know, and then whatever. And like it was, I thought maybe, you know, even 5 had a push.
Yes. Yeah,
it must have been 20 minutes, I'd say.
Isn't that outrageous? I was at a couple of award ceremonies this year. Good for you, actually. One fuck all, but I was at a lot of ceremonies, right?
Yeah.
And then this happened quite a bit at them all. So no one in individual. So They stood up, got their award, stood in front of the microphone and just went, I just can't believe it. I never thought in a million years I'd have won this. And then they took their phone out and read. I'm not even joking. Opened their phone and says, I just want to thank a few. And they went through their acceptance speech.
Yeah.
So never in a million years, but you spent... You wrote a 3-minute, even if it's only 3-minute speech, so nobody would be left out if on the off chance you thought you'd win.
Yeah.
So you did think you'd win. You did.
Because to be fair,
I didn't think I'd win, and I wrote literally nothing down.
Yeah, and the
literally
thing about it is,
nothing.
At least you were right.
Of course I was right. I never win. So I wrote nothing down.
In fairness, the one good thing about the radio awards You know, obviously the bad thing is we never win any of them. But the one good thing about them is you're not allowed to do a speech.
No, you're...
You just have to get it and feck off.
That's the best way.
And that's... And even at the Oscars, it should be like that. Right?
Yeah.
By all means,
no
one cares. Give Cillian Murphy the Oscar, right? And then... And let him have his photograph taken on the stage or whatever it is. And then get him off. If you have to do the thank yous, right?
Yeah.
All the people you're thanking, nobody knows them. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody knows them. Nobody cares. Okay, you thank your missus or your whatever, or you thank your, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
But other, really, maybe the director or maybe whatever. But other than that, if you're, you know, the wonderful people at my agency, you know, Over Under, and thank you again. And, you know, and like, nobody listening cares. Go and thank them in person. It would mean more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then people who thank people they've never met in the hope they will meet them. I'd like to thank Oprah Winfrey for being a great inspiration to me in my journey. Maybe one day, as if Oprah was going to say, fly that woman to LA, I want to have a chat. If I ever win anything, I swear to God, and I promise you this now, I'm going to do a long speech and I'm going to make up a load of people that don't exist to thank.
Brilliant.
Loads of them. So, first of all, I'd like to thank Harold Lloyd of the cement factory around the corner from my house, who gave me a great foundation in my belief that I could do this. And I'd like to thank Chippy O'Riordan, my best friend in school.
Yeah.
Who told me, no matter what anyone says, you can do mathematics if you try hard
and
enough.
The worst thing about doing anything like that is it doesn't matter, right? Even if you do spend yonks doing it, right?
Oh yeah,
somebody will always, you'll always forget someone.
Not yet,
you know, and they'll be like, oh yeah, oh, I got literally everybody you did, yeah, everybody. And I did for you, you couldn't even remember me now.
I will say, I'm a passive-aggressive bollock, so I have had stuff where I've had to thank loads of people, and I've deliberately left out one person. I have done that.
Really?
Yeah, I have done
deliberately.
That. Deliberately? Deliberately, yeah.
No. Just to piss them off.
No, hey, didn't see yourself there, did you? Yeah.
That's mad. Say,
is there a sting in the tail there? I said nothing about it. Carried on with my life completely normal afterwards, yeah.
Yeah.
There I go, now. Anyone feel? I hope I haven't left anyone out. You know, the way you do that, yeah. I hope I haven't left anyone out. No, it's not someone that has been, you know.
Yeah.
Someone that I think.
Hold on a second now. I'm just trying to get the right side of this. Is this somebody you didn't like? Or is this somebody you did like, but you did it as a sort of a...
I'm not going to answer that question because it was you. So I'm not going to answer that question. Because I think that would be an awkward moment between the two of us if I did answer that question.
Yeah. Suffice to say, I've never been aware of it. Yeah.
Well, then it's then I'll try it again the next time. If there ever is a next time. It wasn't you. That's not true.
Oh, man. But,
you know, when someone's mean to you, you just think, right, well, if you're mean to me, I'm just going to be not mean to you. I'll be as nice to you as possible. I'll be as grand. But then when you get the opportunity to just exclude... You start to go,
Jesus, no, I tell you something. It goes to show the dark side nobody sees in you. Oh, there's a dark side in you, Gallagher.
I've rubbed a few donuts in my hair and offered them on a plate.
But the thing about
it is it's true.
The other thing is that, are you good at speeches?
I'm all right.
Because
I can carry a speech,
people assume, obviously, if you have any sort of performance background, you know, radio, obviously you did stand-up as well and all that sort of stuff,
that you're
just going to naturally be... A great speaker.
Yeah. It doesn't always work
doesn't
that
always
way.
Work like
no,
that.
It doesn't always work that way at all. I've seen that backfire big time.
Yeah.
You know, at the wedding I was at.
It's like when somebody says to you, would you say a few words? Do you ever like get that landed on you?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's totally, I mean, well, about what? Say a few words, but just say a few words there.
Do you remember
just,
that?
Just say a few words.
Do you remember that happened to you and me? We were at a horse racing thing. And a fella came up. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he came up and he says, you might, we have here a fella, stand-up comedian, blah, blah. And he says, you wouldn't stand up and give us a bit. And I went, no. Do you remember that? And he goes, you would, yeah, you do it a bit. I was there, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
It's awful.
And I was really put in the spot. I was panicking. I was panicking. And then he started panicking. And there's a whole marquee full of fellas with hats all going, jeez, he's not going to do it. And I had to stand up and just go, thanks very much. Yeah. Whatever, and sat down. It was the most awkward thing. It was an awful moment.
Yeah.
An awful
especially
moment.
Especially when you're in a situation and you don't necessarily know. Yeah, like you just happen to be there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're at a charity event for somebody or whatever.
Oh.
You know, we're having a night for Maureen, who,
whatever,
she fell down the stairs and now she has a twisted ankle.
Yeah.
Would you just say a few words? Well, what? I don't... know who Maureen is. I don't. I mean, what am I, like, what? Thanks? Or like, what am I? You know, just say a few words.
Just say something.
But sure, I was only in to get a jar.
Oh, yeah. I was at a wedding once, right? And I swear to God, I was at a wedding once, and the groom and bride looked like they knew. They couldn't believe they got this far. They weren't happy with themselves. They weren't happy. I'll show you a picture of the two of them now in a minute. Right,
okay.
Oh my God, the atmosphere was poison. And the best man got up to
at
do
the wedding.
At the wedding, poison. Absolute poison. I'm not joking. It was absolute poison, right?
Yeah.
And then the best man, the groom wasn't from Ireland. The best man got up to do a speech. And if he had a word of English, you'd never have known about it, right? So he started. So he did his best now. Nice fella did his best. But it was just like, Me and our great friends have really good friends, long time friends. Big friends, big friendship, long time, very long friendship with me and friends. We are forever, for the rest of our lives, we'll be friends. Thank you so much for being my friend. I hope you two are best friends, and I still am your friend. Thank you so much, everybody, all his friends here, and we are great friends. I was like, this is fucking unbelievable. And he sat down, and people didn't know what to do. And the guy at our table said to me, would you just to say anything? Just say anything.
Basically, you weren't expected to just save the whole situation.
Just say something.
Even though you weren't asked.
Yeah, no, and it was deathly quiet. And then I was like, so I had to just do a very impromptu 3 minutes.
You just stood up on.
So I just went, I'd just like to say a few words. Thank you very much, you know. If you don't mind, I'm just going to say, fair play, well done. You did your best. And we all had a lot of them. I had to sit down. And it was one of the most awkward moments.
Jesus Christ.
And at the end, your man came up to me at the end and says, thanks a million for doing that. Yeah. It's a bit, wasn't, you know.
Because somebody who's not able to do a speech
is having
to watch. You know when you watch somebody and whatever, like, and they could be somebody like a business person or something, and it's their turn to do a blooming whatever, you know, in their job or in some chamber of commerce or something or in whatever.
Well, I've been that guy as well.
That has to stand up and do and they hate it. But you know those people who, like, literally they start sweating buckets
and shaking them up. Yeah. Remember your man came into us one day.
Notes and everything.
Yeah, a fella came into us one day, and you know who I'm talking about, the Irish speaker fella.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he came in and he was in a t-shirt and all. And he started talking, and then all of a sudden it was like someone fucking threw a bucket of water over him. He was ringing wet.
And this lad was a performer.
And he was a performer, and he started shaking like a leaf. And he couldn't. Yeah, he started talking on the radio like this. And we were like, you're all right, just don't worry about it. And, you know, and we started having a bit of crack and the whole. And he started. And his eyes were stinging from the sweat. His eyes were stinging. He started squinting and all. Yeah. And he was like, and trying to remember things.
Because it's terrible. You feel so bad.
And you feel
people.
So bad.
Because you can see them doing that, and their mouth goes absolutely
dry as a bone.
And they can't.
Yeah, start on.
Any sort of word. No word will come
out
properly.
No words come out. And you're like, and he starts, his teeth are all sticking out because his lip is all stuck up on the top.
And you're like, oh my God, please let it be over.
What a cruel injustice the human body plays, where everything gets wet except for your mouth. Your mouth dries up. The one part you need wet. And those people. I've been in that position as well. Like, I've done gigs where, corporate gigs, you know, where you turn up. And I'll never forget the one I did out in a big fancy castle, Dunboy Castle. Went out, and the guy before me, I remember thinking, corporate gigs are terrible. You just try and thinking the money into the microphone. And your man got up, and he starts going, this one's to Johnny, who I hope he's paying for this. And everyone will laugh. Terrible jokes, you know.
Right.
And the golf awards this year will be spectacular if somebody wears the right jumper. And they were all laughing. You know, stupid old jokes.
Wow.
I thought, well, Jays, if he's getting a laugh, I'll be grand.
Yeah.
I got too confident. I walked out and I called the boss a glue sniffer. In the first 2 minutes, the whole place went quiet. I swear to God, I wouldn't want to see the place, Jim. I destroyed it. I ruined dinner and everyone.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. And then it got so quiet that someone moved a knife or fell on a plate or something, and people jumped. They got a fright. Like,
oh,
if someone spoke,
Jesus,
and they would
have, it was that quiet.
It was that quiet. And every time I did a joke, I could hear myself breathing into the microphone because no one was laughing. So I'd go, you know, and then, you know, and they said it wasn't that, it was the fettuccine. I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, it was bad, man. Yeah. It was really bad, yeah. And they sent a fella on the stage to get me off and everything. And he was like, you have to go. But they could hear into the microphone. Because no one was laughing.
You have to go.
You have to go. And I was like, why? And he goes, the woman there, she's after saying, you have to go. I was like, oh, my God. And, you know, I was putting the mic back in the stand and you could hear it. All this because, you know.
Jeez.
And people shaking their heads and all. And then you could hear a bit more. Absolutely terrible. outrageous. All this was going on. And just before I left, the other guy says, let's give them a song. And I sang a song, a dirty song, just for the crack.
Hang on a second. You'd experienced all of that.
Yeah.
And somebody said to you, let's give them a song.
And I said, well, do
and
a song.
And you thought that was a good fucking idea.
So I sang a song. Instead of the Eye of the Tiger, I sang the Eye of the Penis, I sang, right? And I swear to God,
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, and so at the end of the song, the last line is, it's the hole where your wee-wee comes out of the penis. And I went, thank you very much, you've been a wonderful audience. And they fucking ran at me. Now, yeah, one woman came up and says, you ruined Christmas, she goes. I was thinking, ruined Christmas?
Wow.
Yeah, and
That was harsh because it was a Paddy's Day gig.
It was a I'll never forget it. And your man with me running out, he came out after me with his guitar under one hand and his guitar case in the other. That's, he didn't have time to put it in.
Fuck.
And he was there, you legged it without me, he goes, because I went
down. Yeah, well, it was your idea to sing the stupid song.
I said, you want to sing the stupid fucking song? And we laughed the whole way home. I'll never forget how bad it was. I'll never forget it. It was
Jesus
the
Christ.
Most desperate gig. And I told you the other one, when I told a Russian fella, if he didn't stop talking, I'd kick him in the Bolsheviks. And he got me in a headlock and threw me over the dinner table. And the gig was going so bad, nobody noticed. I literally stood up and pushed the food off myself and got back in the car.
So the moral of the story is, just be careful if you have to speak in public.
And Derry Clark, he owned the restaurant that happened in. You know him, the fancy restaurant. And he goes, do you want something to eat? I'll get something to eat. He goes, neither of you are fucking vegetarians or anything, he says. And I says, I am. And he laughed and brought us out meat. I thought I was joking. I was at the time, I'm not now. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. He's a lovely fella, actually.
Right, we'll have to, while I digest that, we'll give you some of the best bits from during the week on the show. Actually, to be honest with you, almost in a related kind of topic, we had a chat about breaking wind
yeah.
earlier in the week.
As we know,
which
yeah.
you would have heard.
A regular topic of conversation on the podcast.
One of PJ's best corporate gigs, you would have heard wind breaking. But anyway, I can't remember what the emphasis of it was.
I do. It's the fart statistics. Finally, researchers have compiled the statistics of the breaking statistics of breaking wind. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
This is, oh my God, made for you. Also, it was, obviously, it's been, when you're listening to this, you could be listening to this on Mother's Day, potentially.
Oh yeah, that's true, yeah.
And during the week, we were talking about the other mother, as in the mother-in-law. Because that day, believe it or not, was celebrated in the States during the week. So we had a bit of a chat about that. I can't read John's writing.
You can't read it?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. Well,
it's either dating or fattening or...
Dating or fattening?
I'd say it's dating. Did we do anything about dating?
We may have. Oh, this is a strange way to finish this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. There could have been something about dating.
Mother-in-law's day. We did that one, right? Let me look at my book here. Hold on.
This is like,
I know what it is.
What
it was
is
the
it?
CIA Russian
the spy who looked.
The spy who conned me.
That's
is what it was.
What it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
The spy who conned me.
That's right. About getting, you know, you had to be careful on the old online dating.
Be very
dating.
Careful about it. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Also, the political front got a mention. Believe it or not, but not in the typical way. We were talking about the fact that one of the members of Blur. The pop band Blur had decided they were going to run for election in the UK.
Run for election, yeah, with the Labour Party, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so...
And then, why are we so sexy? Well, you'll find
well,
out.
Well, that's
you're,
very true.
You're about to find out.
I mean, we ticked a few boxes on the sexy front, but this one in particular too. Anyway, listen, have a listen to this and we'll talk to you the other side.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Obviously, this particular show isn't necessarily, you know, immersed in kind of science and research and all those kind of things.
Not always, not, I mean, from, yeah. from time to time.
It's rare that we allow facts to get in the way, but there are occasions when certain kinds of scientific discoveries...
Exactly, and we have breaking news on breaking wind when we tell you that there has been a survey that has gone across Britain and Ireland that gives us the statistics of flatulence in the modern world, how it happens, where it happens, why it happens, how you do it, and how
I've never seen
you
so excited about anything that we've ever, any survey or research or anything.
Some things I'm passionate about, Jim, and, you know, the gaseous... the gaseousness of humanity is one of those things. So, like, simple statistics that, like, 58% of people... I mean, it starts kind of obvious. I suppose 58% of people have said, yes, they have been embarrassed by their own time bomb going off. And that is, in fairness, fair enough. I'm surprised it's as low as 58%.
Yeah, so just an inappropriate place or whatever.
Or maybe they thought they were doing it. Like, oh, God, yeah, there, thank God. And then all of a sudden someone goes... Was that you? Who did that? What sort of a person does that in a workplace? And you're sitting there with your head in your hands. God, that's terrible, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, honestly, what are they eating? It's really like, is there a dog after going to the toilet in here or something? And you're just sitting there. Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. That's where embarrassment can come into it. I want you to know you're normal if you've ever been in that situation. The person who's not normal there is the person that's going... outrageous that someone would open their lunch in such a fashion. You can't help it. Can't help it. You did your best. You did your best. Only 37% would confess to actually being the committer of a big one, by the way, if in those circumstances.
Yeah.
Which I think is a high. I would have thought it would be down in single digits, you know, that someone would go, what's that?
You'd actually accept the blame.
Yeah, that someone would go, Peter Gallagher, did you absolutely... I don't know where that came. Someone must have left the window open.
Yeah.
We're very close to the sea.
You have to be a very unique kind of individual to go, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was me.
Make eye contact.
I'm responsible for literally emptying the room.
Yeah, yeah, I did it, and I'd do it again. You know, that sort of thing. 44% said they've done one and left the room out of, before the impact.
That's...
So that other people would get the blame and, you know...
That's shocking.
What sort
of character does that?
Poop and goes. Poop and goes are... There's something very... if you're a poop and go, I don't know.
Leaves it behind.
Yeah. 20%...
in more than just the obvious sense.
More, yeah, 20% of people say they have made a loud noise to avoid detection. I have done that. I actually famously told a story. Yes, I famously told a story. Where I was in school. Did I ever tell you that?
Go on, proceed.
Do you remember those science books with the biology, chemistry and physics all in one?
Oh, I do vaguely remember this, yeah.
Oh, and I was dying for... And I thought, I can't do it, because if I do it here now, I'll be known as Mr. Riptacax forever, you know. So I went to the back of the class and I picked up the book and I thought, I'll slam the book on the ground. And as it goes, bang, I'll do the damage. And then, you know...
What you knew in advance it was going to be impact.
Well, I thought
it wasn't going to be an elongated.
No, I thought I could hammer it out at around the same time. You know, I knew there was firepower in there, so I picked up the book and I slammed it on the ground like bang.
Yeah,
and everybody stopped, went quiet, looked around, and then I went.
So you actually drew added attention.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Ruined my social standing forever, I think.
Wow.
I think that's the reason I'm not a doctor. That's post-traumatic stress right there. And then there's, where does it happen? Well, during job interviews, people get nervous.
Yeah.
Imagine. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
That's going to be tough. That is going to be tough. To recover from.
How do you imagine
that? That is going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Imagine. Yeah.
In a job, oh, man.
You can imagine your man.
Was that you?
Sorry. What? Sorry, was that you? It's just there's only two of us here. It wasn't me. Wasn't you? No. Well, only one of us is nervous, am I right?
How trustworthy are you? Very.
Very trustworthy. So it wasn't you? No. No, it wasn't me. On a date. A lot of people have talked about dates.
Right.
That's, I love that as well. Of course you have.
When you're given these stats, are these people who've been, like, they've been caught out doing it? As in, like, you
essentially,
know.
Essentially, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you know, you could potentially do one on a date and nobody'd know the difference.
Yeah,
well, if you're in a restaurant or somewhere and,
one
slips away.
No, these are the embarrassing eruptions.
Oh,
these are
right,
eruptions
okay.
of embarrassment.
Where you've been called
you've been
out
caught.
On it.
Yeah, yeah. And please spare a thought for the poor man who was at a funeral. And when they said a moment's silence, he was like, don't do it. And just as the priest was about to go, and he went...
And the minute silence was like a minute and 10 seconds before someone else went, I think we'll move on now to the prayers of the faithful. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
What he should have done was, he should have just, when that happened, he should have just went, I think that was the soul leaving the body.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Obviously, this weekend, of course, big day for mums to celebrate. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. And no doubt people are making their plans. We heard yesterday that you can get into the zoo for nothing.
You can get into the zoo for nothing on Mother's Day if you're a mother, yeah.
Stuff like that. All of that stuff is going on for mums. But what about the forgotten parent in all of this?
The in-laws, the mother-in-laws. Well, little did you know, mother-in-laws of Ireland listening to this, it is officially Mother-in-Law's Day in the United States of America. And we want to make it a big thing here too.
Oh,
you
yeah.
deserve your day in the sun.
They're going to celebrate Mother-in-Law Day in the States today.
Never even knew it was a thing.
How will they celebrate is the question.
Well, they'll probably... Well, how do you
celebrate? Because in fairness, you know, much maligned, the mother-in-law.
For years.
Do you know
for
what I mean?
Years,
the mother-in-law is very much seen as the sort of like...
The target of peer comedian, blue comedians. You know, dirty old Egypts who used to tell jokes about their mother-in-laws. At the end of a show or, you know.
Yeah, because they're always seen as like a, you know, they were a figure of fun or a figure of kind of like...
Very much
somebody
so,
yeah. who would be viewed as a bit of an interfering old.
Exactly,
so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah. And what the way
very
it should,
wrongly done,
wrongly
course.
So. When your mother-in-law calls around to the house, you'd say, are you going to stay long? And she says, oh, only if I start getting on your nerves. And then you say, oh, so you're not even going to have a cup of tea? It's terrible. I shouldn't have done that joke.
That's a shocker.
But, you know, but that's it. There was always these things, you know. Like, you should go around maybe... And have dinner in your mother-in-law's today. Oh, that's probably delaying the inedible, is it?
Good God. That, I mean, the mother-in-law joke became an entire genre.
It did.
Didn't it? It's like the dad joke, but the mother-in-law joke is like, God, it was, I mean...
Yeah.
Comedians like Les Dawson and all of that era.
Loads
of, they literally made their careers off.
So many of them. Yeah. You know,
well, his famous one about when the mother-in-law comes around and the mice throw themselves into the trap.
Or when he saw his mother-in-law being attacked by 5 men and his wife says, are you not going to help? And he goes, no, 5 of them should definitely do it. And why does the mother-in-law cross the road? Because she thought it was one of my boundaries. Okay, this has gone.
Oh, boy.
This has
God.
Gone a different way.
Yeah.
What's the
you're
difference
supposed
between...
Be, you're supposed to be celebrating the mother-in-law's PJ. You're
supposed
right, to be celebrating
yeah, yeah.
them.
You should celebrate them.
As opposed to this kind of...
That the only difference between your outlaws and your in-laws is that people actually want outlaws. You know, we should be celebrating them.
Unbelievable yeah. carry on.
Yeah. Some people haven't spoken to their mother-in-laws for like 6 months or more, you know. They don't want to interrupt.
He's on a roll here. This could get him back into comedy, you know. This could get him back in.
You never know, yeah. No, honestly, I wouldn't know what I'd do without mother-in-law, Jim. I really wouldn't, yeah. You know, it's nice to think about what I do at the time, but I wouldn't really know.
Dan in Cork's been on to say that I thought Halloween was the official mother-in-law day. There's no need for that.
No need. We shouldn't actually be laughing at these things, to be honest, you know.
Yeah. Look at you there. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So some of these jokes are so stupid, you know. That joke as well about your man. He says he went to Florida, you know, and his mother-in-law fell into the alligators and he had to jump in after to help the alligator because she could have killed it.
My God.
Yeah, I tell you, yeah. That's awful.
This isn't exactly celebrating them now, to be fair. It's not exactly celebrating. This isn't what the plan was now. It's supposed to be bigging up
them. And there's a nice message there, fella. He said he took his dog to the vet today because it bit the mother-in-law and he wanted to make sure that would, like, you know, make sure what would happen next. He says, well, you want me to put the dog down? He says, no, I don't. Sharpen his teeth.
Glory days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
It sounds like a real life The Spy Who Loved Me, doesn't it? It sounds like something that has come out of a movie script, one of the headlines in the papers this morning.
Brilliant.
Because, as we mentioned earlier on, if you're online dating or whatever, if you're using dating apps or anything like that, just be a bit careful that you don't get sucked into a web of international espionage.
Especially if you've never met. That's an important part of it too. And especially if they start asking you questions that maybe seem a little bit too inquisitive. Be it about your personal life or your professional life, right?
Right, okay.
So a man, a retired US Army colonel, he's been charged with now revealing classified information to a woman he met on a dating site. Doesn't say what the dating site is, but David Slater...
It wasn't called honeytrap.com, was it?
How did he not see the signs? You know?
How?
It's unbelievable. But a woman who's living in the Ukraine, right? Ukraine. And basically she was asking details of this guy. She goes, oh, you work for the American military? We should play a game where I ask you questions and you, like, pretend that you're leaking information or something. You know, wouldn't that be fun?
Right. Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I don't know about this. But anyway, a man can often be a fool to passion when it comes to certain things. And he started to leak some information and he's in real trouble now. He could do 10 years in jail for this because he's leaked information. Some of the messages that have been leaked.
Okay.
So one of them has, hey, you are my secret agent with love. My dear sweet Dave. I mean, Dave, even the name Dave, as a to be involved in espionage. I don't know why.
The name's Dave.
Yeah.
Just Dave.
Just Dave, yeah. Dave Slater, yeah. My sweet Dave, thank you for the valuable information. You are my secret informant lover. Can't wait to share more. I mean, he fell for this.
If she's literally saying that,
yeah.
are you saying that he thought that that stuff was like was part of some weird game, but he was leaking actual information?
He was leaking actual information, which obviously she...
And so he's saying, I wasn't in on it. It wasn't that I was trying to get the better of her womanly wiles, and so I thought I'll use this.
He says, I'll leak a few bit of the real stuff and she'll know I'm for real, I guess. Maybe it was the sort of thing.
That
you know,
sounds very
bizarre. An awful lot of people be on dating apps saying, what do you do? Oh, I fly helicopters for the CIA. And you're, you know, you do.
Yeah, but that's all right if it's a spoof. Because, you know, it's a spoof.
I love the way Jim says, it's all right if it's a spoof. It's when it's true, you have a problem.
Well, it is. You know
Should
what
we
mean?
All tell lies on dating apps, Jim Steele? You know, that's what they're for, is lying.
It just seems weird that he either was, to me, it sounds like he was either in on us.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, as I say, he was thinking, like...
He definitely, I don't think...
I'd love to get to see her ankles.
Yeah, so he was doing a bit
and whatever. So I'll just give her the information and hopefully she'll say, ooh, have a look at my ankles.
There's a better pedigree of person who wouldn't fall for these types of things.
That's what I'm saying.
They have training not to fall for these things, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like if you gave me secrets and all.
Well, you're not even told to know, nor am I. We're not even told the Nova Noise.
And if I knew it, the first person that sent me a message saying, hey, sexy, what's the Nova Noise? I go, it's a fella falling out of the bat. I just say it straight away.
Absolutely.
Or flattery.
They wouldn't even have to
flattery
offer you anything.
Flattery would kill me. I'd be like, that's what, yeah. Fella falling out of the bat.
Yeah, it'd be literally like,
any chance we could split them up?
Hi, PJ. And your reply would be, how are you? Do you know the Nova Noise?
Do you know what the Nova Noise is? Jim just told me yesterday. You probably shouldn't tell me. I know it's grand.
Yeah, no, honestly. Yeah, I want it.
I'm after telling every other board on this. You should all ring in.
It is a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit strange.
Especially coming out with like that, you know, let's pretend it's a game.
It's the language of it, isn't
it? Yeah.
And it's just,
I mean, it is very sort of, you know, like, it's like a really bad James Bond. James. Oh. What are the codes to the nuclear?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I can't tell you. Look me in the eyes. Give me a Frenchie and tap out the numbers on my backside. I can't do it. I can't do it, Marjorie. It's outrageous.
The more I hear of it, the more I think he should. This guy
should
go down.
Don't you love me at all? If you don't tell me this secret, what else are you hiding from me, James?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I would never hide anything from you. The code is 34917.
Exactly.
Now, do you know I love you? See, I can trust you. And then all of a sudden you get shot, you know?
Absolutely. Darling, it's our first year anniversary this weekend. What can I get you? I know what you can get me. Get me the troop movements on the front at the east side.
Yeah, what's happening in Donetsk as we speak? Accurate information.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
The face of politics could be changing. I know in the States, right, the idea of a celebrity politician is old hat. They've had loads of people. They had, you know, Ronald Reagan, who was an actor, and Arnie, who was an actor, and they had Sonny Bono, or, you know, from Sonny and Cher back in the day,
this running
for, like...
And now, of course, old Donny himself, you know.
Who?
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, well, I suppose, you know, yeah, like he's ex-reality TV and all that. But we don't see it as much. I mean, we had Dana, I suppose.
Dana had a go. That's all I can think of. In England, it's starting to happen a little bit. Blur's drummer, Dave Rowntree, he has been selected as a Labour candidate in the next UK general election.
Right.
Now, that unreal. Yeah, so he's been...
The drummer,
yeah.
Not as familiar with him now.
No, I wouldn't know, really. But down in mid-Sussex, though, currently held by Conservative MP Mims Davies, who won it in 2019, by all accounts. Before that, it was held for decades by one of Winston Churchill's grandsons. So from Winston Churchill to Blur... You can make it that what you will. I don't know if that's good or
that's
bad or indifferent.
That's political heritage for you right there.
It really is,
Winston,
isn't it?
Churchill's grandson to the drummer bloke from Blur. That's the way forward.
So that's it. That's what he says. He's absolutely thrilled, he says. And now he says the work begins.
Yeah.
Those are his statements.
Don't forget, he has to be elected. So he has to convince people to vote for him.
Yeah, doesn't he just?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say when it comes to...
manifestos.
Like, who's going to vote for you, Dave? Girls who like boys, who like girls, who dig boys like their girls.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly, yeah. What do you do with all the homeless, with the homeless problem in East Sussex? I'm going to put him in a house, a very big house in the country. I'll give him each a house, a very big house in the country.
Yeah. What do you think your reaction will be if you win, Dave? Woohoo!
Followed by coffee and TV. It just keeps on giving, doesn't it?
Absolutely. What about then? What about his manifesto, PJ?
Oh, yeah. That's it.
I mean, he's going to need a decent manifesto. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. All those pigeons that are sitting around the square and everybody keeps feeding them. Not a mess. Got it all wrong.
Yeah.
Those speed bumps that are causing all the cars to get damaged and slowing things down. He's got it all wrong.
Yeah.
All those people
who are hanging around causing antisocial behaviour in the cul-de-sac.
That's it, isn't it? But there's not enough things for young people to do. It's not wanting to turn into drugs.
Tell yourself that he's an absolute shoo-in.
A whole Oasis goes up against him and wins. Imagine, don't look back in anger.
So a few people have been on. Somebody says, what about Sinead Shepherd? Celebrity. But anyway, Sinead Shepherd from Six.
I didn't know that. That's news to me now.
Who apparently is a county councillor in Cork.
Did not know
that.
Does that
not count as a celeb politician? I'm sure it does.
I guess, a local celebrity, yeah.
Somebody else was saying when Kenny Egan was a councillor for Fine Gael.
Oh, for Fine Gael. Wasn't that right? Yeah. That's right. I do remember that.
Back in the day, Glenda Jackson, the actress. That's true, actually. She was political with Labour, was she? She actually elected John, yeah? Yeah. That's kind of high profile. Glenda Jackson.
Is she Irish, yeah?
No.
Oh.
Across the pond.
Oh, I was wondering. I thought we were in the Sinead Shepherd. I thought we were still talking about Ireland, yeah?
And then John just said that Donald Trump was in Home Alone too. We all kind of wish he stayed there, John, to be honest with you.
He did a lot of TV. Yeah. He did awful lot.
I mean, I suppose the celebrity thing, just even from the point of view of awareness, might help with you getting you elected.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I suppose the very fact that people know you.
That's it, isn't it? Popularity is a thing regardless.
Because in terms of getting elected,
trust, you know.
People have different things that they... Like, for example, Barack Obama, no question, it was the fact that he was a great orator.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He could, like, his speeches were fantastic. He spoke so well.
Yeah. Didn't do anything when he got into office, but he spoke very well, you know.
So, you know, sometimes you can, you know, somebody's voice and whatever, like, you can trust it.
Yeah, well, this is it. And it's all about the tone of voice. And I tell you something, Irish people going for elections all over the world would be a shoo-in. Well, maybe not for elections, but when it comes to romantic elections, if there is such a thing, we've been voted once again the sexiest accent in the world. The Irish accent has been voted.
Wow.
Beating Italians and Spanish and even Scottish, funny enough.
Take that, Europe.
Yeah, take that, Europe. Yeah, look at that. You're all down there doing your job, eh, lads? Sounding all great and all, thinking you're British.
Thinking you have the language of love.
The bonjour, monsieur's in France.
Señoritas and
but
everything.
It's the Irish.
Get up out of it.
It's our lot of, we're the ones that do it. What I loved to think about that, though, is there is no Irish accent. It doesn't exist. There's so many accents in Ireland. It's not like Australia. You drive from Melbourne to Perth, it takes you 3.5 years. You get out of the car and everyone sounds exactly the same as they did where you left. Like,
actually, that's a good point. Do you reckon people in the likes of Australia think that they sound different
from
Melbourne or Sydney or Perth?
No, they don't. It's like there's a class accent, but not a regional one.
Oh, wow. Because like in England, there's millions. Obviously, Newcastle's very different to London, very different to... There's Birmingham is very different to... Liverpool or whatever.
Exactly. So to the people who voted Irish accents being the most sexy, I'd like you to think about what you said and I'd like you to come back and
you
be more specific.
In their head, they're thinking of, Liam Neeson doing his, whatever he does.
Yeah. They're not thinking of me.
They might be.
I don't think so.
Maybe Jake was part of the survey.
How you doing? Look at you big, gorgeous thing.
There you go. What could be sexier
I'd
than
love
that,
to see you for a bit of a show. We could kick our runners off and hug and kiss. I don't think they're thinking
Chewing,
that.
Chewing, man. Chewing.
You know, I don't think they met someone from Dundalk, for instance, and they were like, that's the accent I want. I'd like to take you, come on to town. I'd take you down to the cinema. We get some popcorn. Sit down there now and put my hand on your knee. We'll have a great old time. I'm getting fierce, excited now, thinking about what we're going
that
to watch.
That might not have,
I can't see it.
Yeah. And there's a very, because they used to say, remember that poet from Kerry? They used to say he had a lovely lilting accent, Brendan Keneally I can't remember. But then even within that, that's very different to say the Healy Rays.
That's very different to the Healy Rays, I'd like to take you now, I give you a bunch of flowers across the back of the head. We're never going to get on time. And then you're into Cork, A man who gave me the lift to the venue that time, your money's not over here. I tell you something, your money's not over here. Are you going to get you it, Put your hand in your pocket and slap you in the face.
Wow.
Don't you know you're going to get it?
Nothing says romance more than that, buddy.
Oh,
Although one of my favourites would be when, a bit closer to home, just on the outskirts of Dublin. You do love North County Dublin, don't you? You love Balbriggan, Skerries.
I love it up there. But let's be honest, that is one of the most unattractive accents you'll ever hear. Right there. There's cows there, tell you something, you're the most gorgeous thing we ever saw after they come walking out of a field full of cabbages. You know what I mean? You're like a cow that needs feed, so you are the big gorgeous long head in you. Beautiful, so you are. I'd love to give you a bag of hay. You know what I mean?
I don't know what I'm more intrigued by. The fact that I've never met somebody who sounds like that.
You have.
Wow.
You have. You suppose you're not up in North County Dublin, you're up in Wicklow, which is even madder.
We all speak like
we're having to get in the box and say anything in my head.
You've literally just done one. You've just done Katie Taylor.
I have not.
Wicklow doesn't sound like that.
Everyone up your way sounds like you go to the pub, Jim's pub. Give us 2 points there in the packet of smokes or something like that. Two cheese sandwiches.
And have they included the whole island of Ireland? North included?
The Nordies are in it.
Yeah, because you do love a good,
I do. You know them lads?
They're a very romantic bunch.
Yeah, them lads
certain
whistle
parts
for
the
no
North.
Reason. Oh, look at you. You love them accents? Oh, I love that cash on the feet.
Ulster says maybe.
Ulster says yes.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at
InsureMyVan.ie.
There you go. There is the a little smorgasbord of what was going on during the week on Morning Glory.
Yeah, there you go. Jeez, talk about speeches going wrong there.
You're off to do a corporate gig, eh?
I'm off to do a corporate gig on Tuesday. I'm doing a corporate gig on Tuesday.
Brilliant.
Not to call anyone a glue sniffer.
I hope that somebody who's going to attend that gig on Tuesday, that corporate gig, I hope they get to hear this and know what to expect.
Imagine,
and be able to go into their superiors and go, listen, we hired you on PJ Gallagher, right? You do know that in the past, he's called people glue sniffers.
Yeah.
And sings rude jokes about the eye of your penis.
Actually, hold on a minute. I'm doing a gig tomorrow. I'm doing the ANTIS, the Adult Education Awards, tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, as well. So,
let's hope nobody hears it before then.
I've two gigs in 3 days and 5 days.
It only gets released. Hopefully it won't be released before you get to do the gig. Yeah. And I'm sure you have it built in anyway, that if you cancel within 24 hours, you don't get your money back.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's always been the way. Oh, back in the old days, you used to try and get paid up front.
Yeah.
You know, for corporates and everything. Happened a few times, yeah.
Are those days gone?
Those days are long gone, yeah. Especially with me.
I'll tell you what, I'll tell John not to put the podcast out until after you've done the gigs.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, you think that's awkward. You want to see the poor fella, you know who we're talking about, John Lynn. And he would do the thing. And when he's down, he'd be further down the list than, say, some comedians when it comes to doing corporate shows.
Right.
So, but he had an agent that used to put everyone in. So they would come and say, we're looking for Darrell Breen. How much is this? That's too much.
Right.
And how much is the next one? And the next one and the next one and the next one. And by the time it got to like 27 down, he'd get it. And with the offer. But they left all of the previous emails in.
Oh my God.
So he'd be there going, not only, how much is Darrell Breen getting? It was, how much am I getting? And why am I 27th on the list? Yeah.
My Godhead, what's the going? Our horse, isn't that his name?
Oh, Jesus, horse. Pain is killing me hard here.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.